If you have your Bible with you this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5, and we're going to begin at verse 25 and read through verse 34. Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. The Word of God says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about into the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning. I thank you, Lord, for this church, for the freedom we have to come here together as your people and to worship you. Father, I just pray your richest blessings upon each and every one that's here today that made the choice, Lord, to come to your house today. And I just pray, Lord, you bless not only each one that's come, but bless this service, Lord. We pray that you would come by the power of your Holy Ghost, that you would speak to our hearts through your word as only you can. I pray, God, you give us what we need today, Lord, that we might leave this place better equipped to serve you and do your will. And Father, I pray you give me the words that need to be spoken, Lord, and just give me a boldness to speak them. And Lord, we thank you for everything you do, but most of all, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and it is in his name we pray these things. Amen. During his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus performed many miracles. And through his miracles, you know, he showed the world his power. Think about it. Through his miracles, Jesus showed his power over disease. He showed his power over nature. He showed his power over the forces of evil. And yes, he even, when he raised Lazarus and a couple of others, showed his power over death. And I am convinced that Jesus did these miracles in large part because he had compassion for people that he saw who were in need. Heck, I read a couple of cases where he wasn't even asked, and yet he intervened and performed a miracle because he saw someone who had a need and had compassion for them. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus did something like this, where he healed someone of a physical ailment, he did so knowing that even though he was going to heal them physically, he knew they had a much deeper need than just a physical healing. You see, he also knew they had an eternal problem with sin that was ultimately going to take them to hell. And because he knew this, he came to earth to perform the greatest miracle of miracles, which was dying on the cross for our sins and rising again from the dead so that we could be saved from our sins and have everlasting life. Now, I don't know what you call that, but when God himself comes down out of heaven in the form of a human being, lives a sinless life, dies in our place, is dead, put in the grave, and rises again on the third day, and is able to offer salvation to anyone who wants it, I don't know what you call that, but I call that the miracle of all miracles. Amen? But more than just having compassion on people, Christ also performed his miracles for the purpose of revealing that he was indeed the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, the Apostle John said this. He said that many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, meaning the Gospel of John. He said, but these are written, why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name. Amen. Jesus did it to give confirmation that he was indeed the Son of God. Now, when we consider all the miracles of Jesus that are recorded in the Bible, you know, there's a whole bunch that we could look at. But this morning, I wanted to take a few minutes, and I wanted to look at this particular miracle recorded here in Mark chapter 5, because in this miracle, we see perfectly the message of salvation. So what do we learn about the great salvation of God through this miracle that Jesus performed on this woman here in this text? Well, this brings me to the first point. The first thing I want to look at is her condition. Look at her condition in verse 25. It says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." This woman had a physical disease. The Bible tells us she had been suffering with this issue for 12 years. It says it was an issue of blood, which means that she was hemorrhaging blood. And time wasn't making her problem better. It was actually making it worse. And this woman knew that if something did not change quickly, that this problem would ultimately cause her to die a physical death. Well, friends, doesn't this perfectly portray the fate of the sinner who is lost in their sins? This woman in our text was facing a problem of the physical body, the physical death of the body to the grave. Those who are lost in sin, though, however, are facing something even worse. They're facing not only the physical death of the body to the grave, they're also facing the spiritual death of their soul to eternal hell. Amen. And when the Bible talks about death in places like Romans 6:23 or in James 1 verse 15, it is not just talking about the physical death of our body to the grave, it is also talking about what the Bible calls the second death, which is spiritual. And I'm here to tell you, spiritual death is not an end of existence, but rather it is where the lost person is eternally separated from God for all time in a literal place called hell. Amen. And some people, heck, most people, suffer with this condition of being lost their entire lives. What a hopeless condition. Man, I'll tell you what, we talk about the Lord's Prayer a little bit in Sunday school class. I had to teach a teenage class, you know. I love the first part of that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, I pray it every day. My Father who art in heaven, you know, I stop every day and I remind myself, yes, He is my Father, and that means I am His child, and He said nothing would ever separate me from Him. He said He'd never leave me, He'd never forsake me. He says He loves me, He's always going to be there, and you know what? I know how I got that way. Jesus had to die for me to become a child of God. Isn't that awesome? And He loves me that much, and He loves you that much, and He's sitting on His throne in heaven. Man, I'll tell you what, I think about those things and I get just plumb excited about it. I don't just get excited about it. I have peace. I don't worry about nothing because I know who I am. But I think to myself, man, if I didn't have Jesus, what a miserable existence I would be living today. Amen. If I didn't have Jesus, how hopeless my life would be. And just as it was for this woman in our text, time doesn't make the situation better for the lost man or woman. It actually makes it worse because, you see, as time passes, so does the opportunity to call on Christ and be saved. And as it was for this woman, if something does not change quickly, the opportunity for salvation will pass and the person will die in their sins and they will be condemned for all time. Yeah, this woman in our text, she had a serious physical condition. Lost people today have a serious spiritual condition, which brings me to my next point, and that is her condemnation. Her condemnation, we see in verse 26, it says, "And she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." This verse is very clear, isn't it? Her condition was getting worse. You know, I can remember when I was a boy, my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer. And I can remember going to their house, and at first I would see her, and I knew she had cancer, and you know, I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I knew cancer was a bad thing, but I really didn't know what it was. But when I first saw her, you know, I went, and I expected something really bad, but she just looked like my grandmother. But you know, as time passed, cancer began to take its toll on her body. And it wasn't too long after that, we were back down there to visit again, and I remember one particular night that we were there, it had worsened, and she was in so much pain, she couldn't stand it. And I knew I knew something was up. And ultimately, she ended up in the hospital, and that was where she remained until she died. Well, friends, this is the situation this woman was facing here in Mark chapter 5. Her condition was worsening, and she knew if she did not find a remedy very soon, that she was going to die as well. And this woman had tried everything earthly that she could try to fix her problem, and still nothing worked, and her condition grew worse. Now, I'm going to take a poke at the medical establishment today. I hope you don't mind, but I want you to notice verse 26. It says she had suffered many things of many physicians. I'm here to tell y'all something. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. I've been a pastor for over 3 decades. I've had a lot of church members suffer with a lot of things, been in a lot of hospitals, gone through a lot of things, and I'm going to tell you something. I've watched a lot of God's people suffer a lot of things at the hands of a physician. Now, I'm going to say this. I know the doctors mean well. Okay, I know they do. And I know there's good doctors out there. And I'm not saying don't go to a doctor, because I know doctors actually can help people sometimes. But I am also going to say this. It's been my experience that sometimes the daggone cure is worse than the disease. Amen. My wife and I have talked about this. I'd have to, you know, if a doctor says, hey, you got this wrong with you and you need to do this, I'm going to have to go home and pray about it before I tell the doctor yes. I'm going to think long and hard, because you know what? Ultimately, no matter what that doctor does, I'm still going to die. That doctor's not going to keep me alive here on this earth forever. I'm still going to die. Probably somewhere between being 70 and 90, I'm going to die if the Lord lets me live that long. I'm not going to be here forever. It don't matter who the doctor is. This woman, she had gone to every doctor she could find. It says she had suffered many things. You hear that? Suffered. Many things at the hands of physicians, and yet she was none better. This woman endured so much at the hands of her doctors, and it also says she spent every cent that she had. I guess nothing has changed, has it? Because I guarantee you where all the money went, it went to her doctors, right? Isn't that still the same? I mean, my dad, when he had open heart surgery about 10 years ago, man, he got bills in the mail for probably 11 or 12 months after the surgery was over. And even though he had good insurance, it was a fortune he had to pay for that open heart surgery. So again, nothing has changed. She spent every cent she had. She had given it all to the doctors, and yet nothing worked. But rather, the Bible says her issue grew worse. Well, you know, today I see lost people doing this, and I'm talking about in the spiritual sense. I'm not talking necessarily about going to an actual doctor, but I'm talking about lost people trying to find fulfillment. I'm talking about lost people. They got a big empty void in their heart, and they know something's missing from their life, and what do? They try everything that the world has to offer, and still they find that this big, ugly void is still in their heart, and no matter what they get, no matter what they do, no matter what they possess, nothing can fill that void in their heart. Let me just tell you something, Dave. If that's you, let me just make you a promise. Only Jesus can fill that void in your heart, okay? That's the only thing going to fill the emptiness inside of you is Jesus. And so need to remember that. No one is just not going to happen unless you have Jesus in your heart. Only Christ can fill that hole. And without Christ, lost people are in the same boat as this woman in our text today. They're condemned, okay? Let me tell you something. You don't need to make a choice, do I want to die? You're already dead, okay? You're going to die physically, but spiritually, if you're living without Christ, you're already dead, okay? Ain't no choice to make. You're already dead. Listen to me. The only choice you need to make is, do you want to live? And do you want to have life more abundantly? If you do, then friend, you need Jesus Christ. Because he is the only one that can give you eternal life. This woman was condemned to die a physical death. The person living without Christ is condemned to perish in hell. And this brings me to another parallel, and that is her confidence. Now, church, pay attention. Verse 27 and 28 says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. She said, for she said, if I can but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Let me tell you what I gleaned from these verses. Someone who knew this woman and who knew about her condition also knew about Jesus and his power to heal. And they obviously told this woman about Jesus and what he was capable of doing. How do I know that? Look at verse 27 again. When she had what? Heard of Jesus, right? Somebody told her about Jesus. Now, maybe the person who told her about Jesus was someone Jesus had already healed. I don't know. But I do know someone who knew her and knew her condition also knew about Jesus, and they obviously told her what they knew. Pay attention to this, church. This is important. If you have been born again by the power of God through your faith in Jesus Christ, not only do you know what Jesus can do, you also know firsthand what he's done for you personally. Amen. And if you know someone who is lost in their sin and living without Christ, let's just be blunt about it. You also know the truth about their condition, don't you? And you know the truth that if they don't find their way to Jesus soon, then shortly they are going to reside in hell. That's truth. Amen. And you know, don't you? If you're saved today, you know that Jesus can save them. And I'm here to tell you, Christians, it is your obligation as a follower of Jesus Christ to tell the lost about the great salvation that only Jesus can bring to their lives. Hear me real clear, church. No one ever got saved without first hearing the gospel. Amen. Now guess what? And no one ever will get saved without hearing the gospel. Think about what Romans 10:17 says. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Friends, isn't this what happened here in our text? Someone told this woman about Jesus and how he could meet her need. And out of this encounter, faith took hold in this woman's heart. And she obviously had some faith that Jesus could help her, or else I don't think she would have done what she done here. Do you? I mean, if she really didn't think there was anything Jesus could do for her, and she really didn't believe it, do you think she would have come and fought her way through this crowd and got to Jesus and done what she did here that day? No, she wouldn't. She'd have just stayed home. So obviously, when someone told her about Jesus, some faith got in this woman's heart, and she said, well, I believe he can help me, and so she went to find him. And just like this woman, those who are lost in their sins must also come to Christ in faith if they want to be saved from their sins and have eternal life. But as Romans 10:14 says, it says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? And this, I'm going to paraphrase this last part. Unless someone tells them. Amen. How do you think the world's going to hear about Jesus unless someone tells them? And church, who do you think's going to tell them? Do you think the American Civil Liberties Union is going to go out here and start proclaiming the gospel tomorrow? No, they're not. Have you been watching the Democrats and the Republicans? I ain't heard one of them mention Jesus. Have you? Do you think all of a sudden they're going to start spreading the gospel through America? I doubt it. You think lost people are going to start telling other lost people about Jesus? No. Guess who's supposed to tell them? You are, and I am. Those of us who have been born again. We are the ones who are to be proclaiming the good news that Jesus saved. Someone obviously knew this woman, and they knew her condition, and they obviously knew about Jesus, and so they told her what they knew. And guess what? Faith was born in her heart, and she found her way to Jesus. Praise God. But this isn't the end of the story, because next we see the complete cure that she found when she found Jesus. Look at verse 29. It says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. You know what straightway means? It means immediately. She was healed immediately. Now let me tell you two things I see here. First of all, this woman was cured the instant she came to Jesus. Honey, that's a perfect picture of salvation. Because in John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said this. He said, the person who believes on him, listen, has eternal life. He didn't say, if you'll believe on me, you will have eternal life at some point in the future. No, he says, the person that believes on me has eternal life. That means they have it the moment they believe. It is an instant thing that comes to us the moment we call on Jesus. The second thing I see here is that the cure that she received from Jesus was a complete cure, meaning there was nothing else that she had to do. Jesus totally cured her of her physical disease. That was that. And there was nothing else. She didn't need to go follow up with another doctor, did she? She didn't need no more appointments. It was done. It was over. It was gone. And in the exact same way, when we come to Jesus in faith, when we call on Him for forgiveness and for salvation, we are not only instantly saved, but the salvation is so complete that there is nothing else that we have to do. Amen. We're saved by the grace of God through faith, remember, and that not of ourselves. That means our salvation is not about what we've done for Him, it's about what He has done for us. And this brings me to another truth, and that is that the moment that this woman was healed, oh, get this, she knew she had been healed. Look at verse 29. It says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. It was immediate. And get this, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Hey, praise God, she knew it. She knew the moment that she touched Jesus that the disease was gone and that it would never be a problem for him again. Friends, let me just say this today. Listen close. If you are not absolutely sure right now, this moment, that you are a child of God, then let me just say this to you. Most likely, you're not. Okay, notice I said most likely. But if you're not absolutely sure that you're a child of God today, then most likely you're not. I say that because if you were, you'd know it. Amen. You'd know it. And I say most likely because, yes, I do know sometimes a true child of God can be like the prodigal son and go to the far country and get way out of the will of God. And yeah, they lose their peace. But I'll tell you what they don't lose. They don't lose their position. You remember the prodigal son when he went to the far country? Remember what he said to himself? I'm no longer worthy to be my father's son. What was he saying? I've severed the relationship with dad. No, he hadn't. He was a son when he left. He was a son while he was gone. And guess what? In the father's eyes, that never changed. And he was even a son when he came back. Now, when he came back, what was the first thing he said to his dad? He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Well, I got news for you. I've never been more worthy to be my heavenly father's child. Not even for a minute. It ain't about my worthiness, okay? But, you know, when we get away from God, we can lose our peace about our salvation. But if you've truly got it, you're never going to lose it. But that's just one of those things that happens to saved people every once in a while. But, friends, I'm going to tell you something. If you're really His, you ought to know that you're really His. Now, let me read you a couple things. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, listen, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, that we might become the children of God. And verse 6 says, and because you are sons, listen, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. That happens the moment you get saved. God sends His Holy Spirit to live in your heart. And if you truly have Jesus, and you've truly come to Him in faith, and you have sincerely and repentantly called on Jesus to save you, then not only has He saved you, He has sent His Spirit to live in you. This is important. Because in Romans 8:16, the Word of God says that it is the Spirit that lives within us that bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. Friends, it is the Spirit that lives in us that gives us the assurance of salvation. And just like this woman in our text knew she had been healed, I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you about me. I know I am a child of God. And you know how I know I'm a child of God? I know I'm a child of God because the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. What about 1 John 5:13? It says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know you have eternal life. Listen, if you've really got it, you're going to know it. I'm going to tell you something. If you're truly born again, you're going to be a new creature in Christ. You're going to have, your life's going to be different from that point forward. Do you think this woman's life was different the moment that disease left her body? Guarantee it. Let me tell you something. The moment I received Christ as my Savior, my whole life changed. My attitudes changed. My desires changed. My actions changed. My thoughts changed. Everything changed when I met Jesus. Honey, I know I'm saying, I'm going to tell you something. You can't really get Jesus in your heart and not know it. Okay, it'd be like saying, you know, I've said that I've used this analogy before. It'd be like getting hit by a Mack truck and saying, well, I think something happened. No, Mack truck hits you on 60 miles an hour, you're going to know something hit you, ain't you, Jeff? You get Jesus in your heart, you're going to know He's there. I'm going to tell you something. If Christ has truly saved you of your sins and you're His child, you're going to know it just as sure as this woman knew she had been healed the instant she touched his garment. And if you don't know for certain today that you're saved, you probably need to come to Jesus yourself and be saved today from the problem of sin. Now, y'all know the story. I read it to you. There was a large crowd around Jesus that day, and this woman had to fight through the crowd to get to Jesus, and she touched his garment, and the second she did, she was instantly healed. And then just the second that happened, guess what? Jesus asked a question. Who touched me? Now look at verse 31. The disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Let me tell you what they're saying is, Jesus, are you crazy? Who touched you? Who didn't touch you? Look at the crowd. I mean, you can't even hardly breathe. And you're asking, who touched you? Look what happens next. This is where I said, I think Charlie knew what I was going to preach this morning. Because next we see her confession. And honey, I'm telling you, this is extremely, extremely important. Verse 33. It says, But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Just real quick, let me tell you what didn't happen. She didn't say, well, Jesus, could we go off somewhere private for a second? I'll tell you about this. No. There was a huge crowd of people there, and she came right in front of all them people and fell on her knees in front of Jesus and told him the truth. Okay? This was a very public confession. And at this moment, her faith overcame her fears, and she came and she told Jesus the whole truth. And right here, she confesses that Jesus had healed, confesses that healing to be a fact. She confessed publicly about her problem. She confessed publicly about her faith and his power to heal her. And she confessed publicly about the perfect healing that she had received from him. And I'm here to tell you, this is important because today, this is still, hear me, real careful, this is still a requirement for those who would truly be born again. I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. You're going to not gasp when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not enough just simply believe. Now, is this the preacher's opinion? No. I'm gonna back this up with Scripture. It's not enough just to simply believe. No, friends. Confession is also required for genuine salvation to occur. How do I know this? Well, I know this because, number one, I want you to listen to what Matthew chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says. I think Charlie even read this. It says that if thou shalt, what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, you hear that word, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Tell me, friends, if those words are true, and they are, then how can confession of Christ be left out? I hear people say, oh, well, my relationship between me and Jesus is a private thing. No, it isn't. And if it is, you don't really have a relationship with Jesus. Because if you really have a relationship with Jesus, you got to be willing to confess that. How do I know? Because in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. He said, But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before the Father which is in heaven. And listen, I know it can be a scary thing to come up here in front of the whole church and stand up here with the pastor and make a public declaration of your faith in Christ, but I'm here to tell you something. It's a necessity. This woman in our text, she was afraid, wasn't she? She was, it's what it says. Verse 33, let's read it again. But the woman, fearing and trembling, she was so scared she was shaking. But you know what? She overcame her fears. And she came to Jesus and she declared to the world what Jesus had done for her. And today, if you have never made a public declaration of your faith in Christ, I'd like to encourage you to come and see me as we sing the final hymn this morning today and make public that confession of Christ as your Savior and Lord. And this brings me to the best part of this text. The very last point, by the way. See, by having faith in Jesus, by coming to Jesus, and because of her willingness to confess what Jesus had done for her, this woman received so much more that day than she ever imagined. Let me tell you something. There was something else happened here that was, she wanted her disease gone. Guess what? Her disease left. Jesus healed her, but honey, he did so much more for her than that. And this brings me to the final point. And that is that when all was said and done, this woman became a child of God. Look at verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Notice he doesn't say, Woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Notice he doesn't say, Lady, your faith has made you whole. No, he says, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. He calls her daughter. You know why? Because she was. From this point forward, she was a child of God. Because of her faith in Christ, which brought her to Christ, and because of her willingness to confess Christ and what he had done for her, she became a child of God in that moment. And today, I'm telling you, it is the miracle of miracles when the Lord transforms a lost sinner into a son or daughter of God. And he'll do it for anyone, you know. All you got to do is have faith that Jesus can save you from your sins and come and call on him to forgive you and save you. And from there, all you got to do is confess him as your Savior and Lord and tell the world what he's done for you. And from that point, you'll not just be saved from your sins. This was what we talked about this morning, wasn't it, Bryce? I'm not just saved from hell. I'm not. I'm not just forgiven of my sins. I am saved from hell. I am going to heaven. I am going to have eternal life. I am forgiven, but you know what? I've got so much more than that. I'm more than that. I am a child of God. An heir of God, Galatians chapter 4 says. A joint heir with Jesus, Romans chapter 8 says. I am going to reign with Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 4 says. Isn't that awesome? I can't even explain what that means, but I believe it. And I'm excited. I'm excited about my position as a child of God in this life, but I'm even more excited about what it's going to mean in eternity. And I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in heaven to be a child of God. All you got to do is have faith. Call on Jesus. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you. Confess to the world what he's done for you. And he'll do so much more than just heal you of your lost condition. He will make you a child of God. Man, what more could you ask for? This woman in our text came to Jesus in faith in a state of peril. She experienced the power of our Lord to save her from her condition. And then she left in peace, not only being healed of her condition, but she left as a child of God. Friend, he'll do no less for you today. Today, if you have never called on Jesus for salvation, then I'm going to tell you the truth. You are lost in your sin. And you will shortly reside in hell if something doesn't change. But if you would simply just come to Jesus just as you are in your present state. Listen, you don't have to go out here and straighten yourself up to get right with the Lord. We sing this hymn here called Just As I Am. That's how he wants you, just like you are. And he'll fix you just in the present state that you're in. He don't care. You don't have to fix nothing. Just come to him like this woman did in your present state and call on him in faith, and he, by his power, will save you from your sins and give you eternal life. But like I said, he'll do so much more than that. He'll make you a child of God. He will give you a peace in your heart that passes all understanding. Friends, do you need to come and call on Jesus today for salvation? If you do, come see me in a moment. But maybe you have prayed. Maybe there have been a moment where you prayed and you asked Jesus to come in your heart and life and asked him to save you. But maybe you have yet to confess that decision publicly. If that would describe you, then again, come see me in a moment as we sing the final hymn. And I promise you, I'll stand right here with you. And this church will rejoice with you as you declare publicly your faith in Jesus Christ. And Christians, let us remember that this miracle that we read about here in Mark chapter 5 never would have happened had someone not told this woman about Jesus. And today the miracle of salvation will not occur for anyone unless we get out there and tell the world about him. Maybe, just maybe, you're like this woman today and that you're facing a problem that seems to have no solution. Let me make you a promise. The Lord can handle it. He's bigger than whatever problem you're facing today. And he will handle it if you'll just have the good sense like this woman to bring it to him. So whether it's a matter of salvation, a matter of confession, a matter of praying for one who is lost, or a matter of a burden that you're bearing, let me invite you to come today and let Jesus have his way in the situation. And I promise you, he'll work a miracle for you today as well. He's still in the miracle business, amen? We serve an all-powerful, almighty, all-present, all-knowing God, friends, and he's got this. So no matter what it might be, come let Jesus have his way today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, for what it teaches us. And Lord, we see this woman, Lord, and she was in such a dire circumstance. And Lord, nothing earthly was able to deliver her, Lord. And as we look around today, I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to help us to see people who are lost in their sin, and that you would help us, Lord, to see them how you see them, Lord, to have the compassion and love for them, Lord, that you do. And help us, Lord, to realize today that there is nothing earthly that will fix their problem. The only solution to their problem is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God, I pray we'll be like whoever told this woman about you. I pray that we would go and that we would begin to proclaim the good news that Jesus saves. Lord, that we would begin to tell the world what you have done for us. And Lord, if there's one here today who needs to come and make that decision to call on you and to place their faith in you, I pray, God, give them the courage to step out of the pew and come up here and see me as we sing this final hymn. I'd be glad, Lord, to answer questions, to pray with them, to do anything I can to help them find a relationship with you today. Lord, if there's one here today who needs, maybe recently, Lord, has prayed and asked you into their heart, but has yet to make that a public matter, Lord, by confessing it to the world, Lord, I pray you bring them, Lord, that they might come and confess that to you today. Lord, if there's someone we know who's lost in sin, I pray, God, we'd come pray for that person today, and that we'd pray, Lord, that you give us a burden for them to go to them and tell them what we know. And Lord, maybe there's someone here today like this woman that just has a physical problem of some sort, Lord, a burden, Lord, of something in this world, and that seems to have no solution, Lord, and it's burdening them down. I pray, Lord, they come and just give that burden to you and allow you to have your way in their life. God, have your way in this invitation time as you're speaking to hearts. And Father, I know that you are. As you're speaking to hearts, Lord, I pray that we would respond by coming to this altar, yielding ourselves to you, and allowing you to have your way in our lives and in every situation. Now, Father, you move, Lord, as only you can now in this time of invitation. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.